Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. If you would, in your Bibles, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 is where we're going to be tonight. Many of you have this memorized. And this is going to be the main focus of the message tonight. Matthew chapter 6. We're going to start in verse 25, of course. So if you'd stand with me for the reading of God's Word, if you're willing and able to. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. The Bible says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things." I'm going to say that again. "For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Title of the message is a silly title, but there's a point in it. Today is the most important day of 2024. Today is the most important day of 2024. You're not promised tomorrow, right? But you know you've already got today. And so this will be our last message in lieu of moving into the new year. And so I wanted to focus on this today. Today is the most important day of 2024. Let's pray. Our God in heaven, Lord, I need you today, tonight, and I ask you that you'd help me and guide and direct. As we look into your word, I pray that what is said would be glorifying and honoring to you. Our desire, as we were reminded this morning, is to honor God tonight. So may we honor you in what's said, what's preached. May we honor you in how we respond to your word and apply it to our lives and live our lives today, Lord. I pray that you be pleased in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks so much. You can be seated. We're going to be preaching a message as we get back into our, and it's not yet, we're on our theme for Sunday mornings right now, but the next message that we're preaching in the series, and we beheld his glory, the life of Christ that we're in on Sunday mornings, which I know some of you don't get to be a part of because you're teaching in class. We'll encourage you to make sure that you are aware of the Sunday school lessons as well as the 11 a.m. service. But we'll be preaching on the first words of Jesus. We just preached on the story a little bit, just kind of topically regarding it, him being 12 years old and how not to walk with Jesus, and then and how they lost Christ there. But the next part of that message is going to be the first words of Jesus. Remember your kids' first words? Anybody remember those first words? How many of you, the first word was mommy? Raise your hand. Your kid's first word was mommy. Raise your hand. All right, how many of you, your kid's first word was daddy? Some of the couples both raised their hand. You know, mom raised her hand, dad raised his hand. That doesn't work out very well, you know. But, yeah, remember your kid's first word. Well, we'll be preaching on that. And regardless, all of the words of Jesus Christ are very important. Amen? talked about that this morning. Honoring God's word. His word matters. This word right here matters in our lives. And the words of Jesus Christ preached to his disciples here in Matthew chapter 6 are very important words. This verse, Matthew 6:33, I want you to say it out loud with me. Matthew 6:33, would you read it with me out loud? Ready, begin. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. This verse was part of the Sermon on the Mount. There was a need of it in that day just as much as there is a need of it today, as there was when our Savior first uttered it. There are times in our lives in which, even as believers, this is our Sunday night crowd, I know who I'm talking to, where care and worry, fretful care, I should say, not just care, it's okay to care about things, but fretful care and worry can enter into the hearts of believers. And if Jesus Christ were here in person, I believe that he would say these same words to us, and he would repeat these same words, and he would admonish us to get rid of our worry, because, again, care is okay, but fretful care is not becoming of a child of God. And it is opposed, actually, to faith. Listen tonight. The opposite of faith is fear, and the opposite of fear is faith. It's so opposed to faith. It is not evidence of the fact that Christ lives in your soul. I didn't say that he doesn't live in your soul, but it's not evidence of the fact that Christ lives in your soul. I mean, sin isn't, I mean, you're saved tonight if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior, but you're with me and you understand that statement that when you sin, that is not evidence of the fact that you're saved, right? You're saved, but that doesn't show the evidence of your salvation. And the same with this kind of fretful care or worry. Example, Josiah, can you come here, bud, for a second? He's like, oh no, Dad, I can't believe you did this. Come here for a second, come on. All right. Help me out, bud. All right. So a kid can be scared and worried about some things in life. But when a kid is with his dad, he has a little more confidence about things. I'm not saying that, you know, I mean, he's human. We're all human. So even in a situation like that, we could still be a little bit frightened about a situation. But you feel a little more secure when dad's got you. Now, he's sick, so he's not. This isn't as fun to him as it used to be. But when dad's got you and dad picks you up and he holds you and he's embarrassed because he's afraid of you, but it helps our fear. Right, Joe? Like, we went out and sometime during the hunting season, the kids went with me to go put up a tree stand out there in the woods at a public land out there by Valley Falls. And it was dark. It was middle of the season. So I didn't want to go during the day and make all the other hunters mad at me as I'm tromping through the woods and carrying a tree stand. Somebody's helping me. And so I'm like, we can do it in the dark, can't we? I've never done it in the dark before. I can do this in the dark. Anybody want to go with me? And it's like, yeah, you know. And so we went, and I mean, coyotes are going off out there in the woods, and it's kind of a scary area. But the reason he felt safe was because he was with his dad. Now, if we would have turned the flashlights off and kind of ran away, I don't think he would have liked that very much, you know. But we did turn the lights off. We did turn the lights off, and we laid down on our backs. And we looked up at all the stars. It was cool, but it was kind of eerie at the same time. And we just had a good time out there. But you're a little less afraid when you're with somebody, right? Now, that's why I said that our fear is not, and our worry is not evidence of the fact that we're Christians. You see, him being with dad is evidence of the, and him not having as much fear in a situation is evidence of the fact that he trusts his dad. That is evidence of the fact that he trusts his dad. in a scary situation, in a hard situation, in a difficult situation, when that fear is protected by your faith in Dad, then that's evidence of that. But it's the same thing in our lives. Because we have a Heavenly Father who loves us, who cares for us, who wants what's best for us, and within His will is going to protect us to accomplish His will. And when we don't trust Him, that's evidence of our fear in our lives, and that's not evidence of a Christian. So, it's so opposed to faith, it's the opposite. Somebody said, none of us who are trusting in Christ ought to allow ourselves to become the victims of fear. I want you to consider some things. Before we talk about faith, I want you to consider some things about worry. I preached a message 2019 about worry. And I'm going to, for helping us build a platform on for the end of the message, I'm going to touch on some of those things. It was a long time ago, so most of you probably wouldn't remember anyways if you were here, but some things to consider about worry. First of all, worry is unnecessary in a believer. In this very chapter, in verse 26, our Lord says, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet, your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? And then look at verse 28. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, because of those sayings that were just said, we come to this conclusion. If God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, it's going to be destroyed, but He still takes care of that field. Shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? So worry is unnecessary. Somebody said, if you saw a farmer feeding his barn animals plenty of food, would you believe it if someone said he starved his children? And as long as you see God providing for the baser creatures and even the wild beasts that He has formed, rest assured that He will take care of His children. Therefore, worry is unnecessary. If God is the one doing it, if He is the one in control and He is the one caring, why should we worry about it? Evidently, that's something we've got to get settled in our lives. Worry is unnecessary for the believers because of who they believe in. We're talking about God. Don't answer out loud, Josiah. Josiah, why were you not scared out there in the dark in the woods? Because I'm a tough 6-year-old. No. Why were you not scared outside in the middle of nowhere? It's in the sticks. Why were you not scared? Because I'm with my dad. And worry is unnecessary for the believer because of who you believe in. And I believe in a God who created by His word. I believe in a God who has power over Satan, over death, over hell. I believe in a God who is all-knowing, who is all-powerful, and always caring. Worry is unnecessary for me because of who I believe in. Worry is unnecessary for you, believer, because of who you believe in. Second thing about worry is that it's useless. Worry is useless. Even after all of that, what we just went over, if you still feel that you need to fret, of of what possible purpose does your fretting accomplish? What does it accomplish? Would the birds be better if they squawked a little louder? You know? Maybe some... Never mind, I'll leave that one alone. I was going to talk about PETA, but it's okay. But if you begin squawking a little louder, are you going to gain by it? Verse 26. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Can you just conjure it up? Just, I'm going to grow. Nope, it doesn't work. We play that game with Josiah sometimes, you know, a game like that. Hey, buddy, you're getting too big. If I take you and squeeze you really hard, I'm going to make you smaller. It doesn't work, you know. Tired of him growing up, so we try to make him smaller. But can you, by complaining, add even an inch to your height that there's no rain? Will a fretful farmer kind of yell at the clouds to make the clouds unload on the fields? If it's raining too much, is he going to be able to complain to seal up heaven? If there's no money, will the murmuring of the business owner yield a profit? If things aren't going well in your life, will you complaining about it make it better? If your bank account isn't as high as it should be, you going like this and wringing your hands, does that make it better? Does you pulling your hair out make it better? I'll tell you right now, it doesn't. Some of you will get that tomorrow. No. Worrying is a poor business. It can't bring good results. Therefore, it is as useless as it is unnecessary. It's useless. It accomplishes nothing. And then third, let me look at verse 32. What he said, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Worry is worldly. The Gentiles. That would be reference to that which would be worldly. The Gentiles in that day, they had no knowledge of God. They weren't, you know, they were going to be reached for sure with the gospel. They would be reached eventually. But at that time, really, for the most part, the Gentiles had no knowledge of God. They had no knowledge of Jesus Christ. They had no knowledge of the Word of God. They had no knowledge of the Old Testament. The Gentiles worshiped their own false gods and really worshiped themselves. And Jesus said, this is what the Gentiles do. What do the Gentiles do? They worry. The Gentiles are the ones that fret. The Gentiles are ones that they don't have a Heavenly Father who feedeth them, who takes care of them. They're not God's children. My plan is to reach them. My plan is to send the gospel to them. And by the way, you're going to be the ones to do that. But at this point in time, they really had no knowledge of God, no Savior, no Father in heaven. And it shouldn't be a surprise to us that today that those who know not God should try to get all they can out of this world because they have nothing else or anyone else to look to. And as far as most of the world's concerned, when they die, and they're just going to get all they can while they're alive. But it shouldn't be so said with those who are Christians, with those who are born again. You in whose body the Holy Spirit dwells as in a temple, you should not be worrying and stewing about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink or how you're going to be clothed. You've been blessed. This will be something great for us to remember in 2024. You've been blessed with a gift that is higher than the angels ever dreamed of. Don't descend to the trifles of life that have no eternal value. Worry is unnecessary, it's useless, and it's worldly. Because we worry and fret about that which has no eternal value. Think about it. We are worrying and fretting about things that don't matter in light of eternity. So how do I stop worrying? Well, that's what I wanted to get to. To help us do so, I believe, was part of the objective of Christ. And he answers that question in Matthew 6:33. Look at it again. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The central idea of Matthew 6 is not about worry. It is the complete opposite of worry. faith. Even though it doesn't use the word faith there, that is the central idea of the text. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And it is the complete opposite of worry. So before you worry yourself to death about how to stop worrying, I want you to consider a couple things here. First, the proper object of our care. There is something, or someone, I should say, that we should put our care into. It's okay, like I said, to care. But let's have a proper object of our care, of our worry. There's a difference between worry and concern. There's nothing wrong with being concerned. Agree? But worry can lead to sin. And while worry can lead to sin, concern should lead us to Christ. Worry can lead to sin because if I'm at the point where I'm worrying without trusting God, then I'm guilty of the verse in Hebrews where it says, without faith, it is impossible to what? Please God. So if I don't have faith, it's implied, I'm not pleasing God. Worry can lead to sin. But concern then should lead us to the feet of Jesus. If it's worth being concerned about, it's worth praying about. And if you're praying about it, God can help you to not be concerned about it. Somebody said, Corrie Ten Boom said this, any concern too small to be turned into a prayer is too small to be made into a prayer. There is in all of us a propensity to care. And I mean that's just ingrained in us. We're going to care. But to some, many are more inclined to look on the dark side of everything. And it wouldn't matter what phase of life they are in, they would always worry. But we just talked about how worry is unnecessary and useless and is a favorite hobby of the world to worry about things that don't matter. But perhaps you are one that puts a lot of energy into worry as a Christian. May I encourage you to focus that energy on something that does matter. Focus that energy on something that really counts. Somebody said, let your deepest, most intense, and most thorough care be exercised in this direction. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Put your energy and your care and your worry into Matthew 6:33, the kingdom of God. And when that's your concern, when that is what you put your energy and your care into, God cares for everything else in your life. Too many in this world are seeking answers to their questions. Too many are seeking resolve to a solution to their problems. Too many Christians even, so many lie awake at night seeking answers to their worries. They don't get any sleep. Many seek more pleasure, more money, more time, more entertainment, more education. Some things have their place, but this is something that should be important to me today, and that's the kingdom of God. This is something worth putting my care into. Look what he says there. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's wonderful. That's the kingdom of new life. That's the kingdom of freedom from the bondage of sin. That's the kingdom of faith in Christ. We're talking about salvation here. And I have a question for you tonight. Do you have citizenship in Christ's kingdom? In other words, do you know for sure if you're saved tonight? Say amen if you do. Do you know for sure you have a home in heaven? Let me tell you, the way of admission is this: believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Seek the kingdom of God. If you're saved tonight, you've taken up residence in the kingdom of God. And once you've taken up residence in the kingdom of God, then seek to enjoy its privileges. Let him rule in your heart. Let God rule in your family. Honor God as a dad, honor God as a mom, as a spouse, honor God as a Christian, at the workplace, at home. make sure my goal, my desire is to honor God. Them that honor me, I will honor. Let him rule in your heart. You can have all the peace that comes with it, all the rest, all the joy. And then seek this. Seek to extend that kingdom. Don't just take up residence in it and enjoy the privileges. Share the wealth tonight. Who do you know this week that needs Jesus Christ as your Savior? Who do you know that needs to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ? Seek to share the wealth. Go out into this world. Conquer with the weapons of our warfare, with the word of truth and the shield of faith, with love and with kindness. You can see souls saved. You can see lives changed as a result. Seek these things. Listen, those are things worth putting our care into. Would you agree? Those are things worth our energy and our time and our focus. This is something worth thinking about on your bed at night. Much more important than our trivial issues. Much more important than our griping and whining, or much more important than the heat or the cold. Much more important than those things. The proper object of our care should be the kingdom of God, and we should seek after those things that pertain to the kingdom of God. So let your care go in that direction, to serve God, to live for God, to glorify God, to honor God. How many of you are familiar with several places in the book of Proverbs and in the book of Psalms where it encourages us to seek wisdom like a merchant seeking more trade, or like a miner seeking gold, or like a sick man who's seeking health, seeking God in those ways. I mean, that's pretty desperate. That's a lot of energy. The proper object of our care would be seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then it says, and his righteousness. Now we're talking about the characteristic of God, an attribute of God. And we're told, seek that. Seek his righteousness. Seek that which is right in God's eyes. Someone once said, seek first of all to be right, not to be rich. Seek first of all to be just, not to be wealthy. Seek first of all to obey, not to become the master of others. Seek not to be great, but seek to be good. Seek to be right. And the one aim of the life of the Christian should be to do what's right. Why? Because that brings honor to God. Brings honor to God. Why should I expect the blessings of God in my life if I live any other way? The text says to seek it. We've already talked about how, but it's by faith in Christ Jesus alone. But notice it says, seek first the kingdom of God. See, Christ here is interested in a certain order and in a certain degree. Seek it first. He didn't say with some of those other things, don't seek them. He didn't say that. He didn't say, don't seek to be clothed and don't seek to be fed. He just said, stop worrying about that, because God knows your life. God knows your family. God knows your situation. And so he's saying, I'll take care of you. I'm your heavenly Father. I know all of these things. He didn't say, don't seek those other things. But he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. He's saying there's a proper order here of what we need to be caring about in our lives. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Before you seek more money, seek God first. Before you seek a relationship, seek God first. Before you seek a raise, seek God first. Before you seek entertainment or happiness, there's an order here that God is saying. Go ahead and seek health, but seek the kingdom of God first. Go ahead and seek proper things, but seek the kingdom of God first. And also, I like to say this: seek it in the first part of the day. You say, well, that's not exactly what it means in context. I understand, but let me ask you this. Why not? Why would I not begin my day asking God, hey, can you help me with my day? Why would I not begin my day asking God, I need your help today. I need your guidance today. I'm going to face a day only you know what's going on. And by the way, you're the only one that cares about these things more than I do. So I'm seeking you first. I'm seeking the kingdom of God first. I'm seeking your righteousness first. And I'm going to honor you in the first hour of the morning, in the first order of time. It's okay to have to want the love of others, but you ought to desire the love of God so much more. It's okay to seek relationships, but your relationship with God matters the most. Are you with me tonight? Paul said that I may know him. There was nothing more precious to Paul than his relationship with Christ. Some seek a house, a job, a car, a family. Fine, fine. It's fine. But seek first your God. Seek him first. C.H. Spurgeon said, let this be your rule. First an altar, then a tent. First an altar, first time alone with God, first on your knees with God, and then all of these other things. And that's the proper object of our care. If you want to care, care for God. If you want something to worry about in 2024, worry about the things of God. Worry about souls. Amen? Care for souls. People need the Lord. People need Jesus. If you want something to care about the will of God. Care about His righteousness. Care about raising your family to honor God. I'm going to put God first this year. I'm going to honor him this year. And then there's a promised result. He says, and all these things shall be added unto you. Do you believe God tonight? Amen. No one in here would say no. Then listen. All these things shall be added unto you. What things? All things. All of them. Maybe not the way you want them to be. God has a plan. He has a purpose. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5, please. Peter 5. Read verse 7 with me. Ready, begin. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. David said this in the Old Testament, I have been young. Now I am old. Now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his what? Righteousness. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging. I love that he said all things. What we shall eat, what we shall drink, what we shall be clothed with. Yeah, it's talking about those things, but it's not just talking about those things. It's talking about all things. Comes by way of his promise. I get from this account that if you'll mind the business of God, he will mind your business. It's a promised result of proper care. And our God is a God who cannot lie. And it comes by his promises, and it comes by his wisdom. It's all measured out by God, by the way. He measures out to us what we need, what we can handle, what's good for us, what's going to be helpful for us. And if you have but little, perhaps it's because God knows all you can handle is what's little. Perhaps if If you have what's little, it might be because that's the influence, circle of influence, that he wants to use you to reach somebody else who has but little. It might be because that is where he can get your attention, or that is where he can use you to get somebody's attention. But he has purpose in all things. Do you believe that tonight? Perhaps some wouldn't be saved if they weren't in the circumstance that they were in. Perhaps God knows that some would behave inappropriately in a different position. Question is this: do you want to have what God knows would be best for you? Or do you want to have what you think is best for you? In other words, do you want to honor God or do you want to honor self? Let God measure out what you need. Let God measure out what you need. By the way, this is a whole different message. Be responsible with what God measures out to you. If we're not responsible with what's given to us, why would we expect God to give us more? Be responsible with what God's given you. With the family God's given you. With the wife or the husband God's given you. With the children, with the parents God's given you. Be responsible with the finances God has given you. Be responsible with the temple of God that God has given you. Be responsible with what God has given you. Be responsible with the church God has given you, with the friends and relationships God has given you. Why would we expect God to fix all these things and to give us what we want when we won't even be responsible with what he's already given us? And if you're a child of God and you care for him, listen, he will care for you. He will measure out your bread. He will measure out your water. He will measure out your cloth. Let him measure out who and what you need in your life. That's why today is the most important day of 2024. Because it's one day at a time. And today, trust God. Today, seek the things of God. Today, be responsible with what God has given you. Oh, you might have had victory yesterday. Great. And you might have been defeated yesterday. Well, the past is in the past. As we preached on last time on our New Year's message, a week ago, reaching forth. Reaching forth. That was our New Year's Eve service. Forgetting the past and reaching forth. Proverbs 30 verse 8 says, give me neither poverty or riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. In other words, I'm not asking for poverty. I'm not asking for riches. I'm asking for what you think I need, God. Just give me what you need, what you know I need. And I'll trust you.